Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th of September, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. This is one of those interesting stories. A former content moderator who worked on contract for Facebook has filed a lawsuit against the company, saying that being bombarded with thousands of violent images on her computer in Silicon Valley led her to develop post-traumatic stress disorder. The former moderator, Selena Scola, argues that Facebook failed to protect her and other contractors as they viewed distressing images and photographs of rape, suicides, beheadings, and other killings, according to the complaint filed on Friday in San Mateo County Superior Court. Ms. Scola, who worked on behalf of the company for 9 months, said in the complaint that her post-traumatic stress disorder was set off when she touches a computer mouse, enters a cold building, watches violence on television, hears loud noises, or is startled. Facebook 7...
Ah!
My reaction is to punch, so I'd be careful about doing that again.
Dave, like...
No, because I don't expect any less from you.
That's exactly right. I wonder what they did to the meters. Facebook 7,500...
I'm still picking it out from the right side.
Yeah, right.
It pegged.
Pegged. Still pegged. Facebook 7,500 moderators around the world sift through 10 million potentially rule-breaking posts per week, the lawsuit says. The company relies on its 2 billion users to report inappropriate content. The moderators then employ the hundreds of rules Facebook has developed to determine if the content violates its policies. We recognize that this work can be difficult, Bertie Thompson, the director of corporate communications at Facebook, said in a statement. That is why we take the support of our content moderators incredibly seriously, starting with their training, the benefits they receive, and ensuring that every person reviewing Facebook content is offered psychological support and wellness resources. Ms. Scola is urging Facebook to establish a fund to create a testing and treatment program through which current and former content moderators, including moderators employed by a third party, can receive medical testing and monitoring, including psychiatric treatment. She is also asking that her legal fees be paid by Facebook. Lawyers for Ms. Scola said their client was not currently giving interviews. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, is ex-content moderator sues Facebook over PTSD. And your choices are, she deserves to get paid, Facebook should do something for her, she knew what she was getting into, and wait, Facebook has content moderators? So far, we've only got 11 votes. And so far, wait, Facebook has content moderators is by far the number one choice. I was shocked myself.
Yeah, but they're all Russian.
they're all Russian, and they're not, in fact, getting paid. No, 12 votes now. Anyway, you can also check us out on our forum. If you have more to say about this, if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. And the second set of forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item in the poll discussions is 29 September 18, ex-content moderator sues Facebook over PTSD. And when you're done with that, you can come and give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
There was a cop show a while ago that had a plot like this where they were able to trace the victim back to this social network, and there were talking with the human resources director and the social media content directors. Most of our moderators, you know, they only last a few months, but there's one guy over there, he's been here 3 years. Guess who the murderer was?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a you know, on the one hand, yes. They know what they're getting into, theoretically. But as my daughter sometimes says, people are the worst, and they will post horrifying things. And these people are exposed to that. I mean, it's their job to be exposed to that, but they're still mm-hmm. exposed to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's your job to go into a war zone, but you still can end up with PTSD. It's your job to protect the public, but you can still end up with PTSD if you're a police officer. I mean, I understand that this is, you know, nobody can prepare you for some of the stuff that they're going to see.
And even if you recognize and hit delete after a couple, 3 seconds, and it's still a couple, 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's still that image in your brain.
And how many thousands of times a day would a content moderator have to do this?
Right. And so I do understand. I am very empathetic. I do understand that what they're going through, and it's got to be horribly traumatic. But unfortunately, I think it's a necessary job. There's no AI certainly can't do it. And no.
Here's an ad for a social media moderator, and you can earn up to $7.50 an hour.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what Facebook pays, but clearly it is not enough. It's got to be a very hard job. I mean, look, we've all read Facebook comments and thought, how stupid can some people be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently we're not seeing the worst. Think about that.
Yeah.
The worst comment you've ever seen on Facebook is not the worst comment that the moderators have seen. That's a frightening thought, quite frankly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard. It's got to be hard for these people to do this every day.
So imagine that video you clicked on because it had that cool thing as the keyframe.
Right.
And then watching the whole 20 minutes, and then suddenly before it ever gets to the thing you thought you wanted to see, and then it's not the thing you really wanted to see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Often the keyframe isn't anywhere in the video. But
it got you to click.
They got you to click, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And often we see, you know, clickbait. Click here to see what Nicki Minaj did yesterday, and then it's a violence video that has nothing to do with Nicki Minaj at all.
They're just using that as a hook.
As a hook. And so then that gets flagged, and then an actual moderator has to actually look at it and actually see
the junk,
the video. Right.
I just found an article from a year ago in The Guardian about underpaid and overburdened Facebook moderators. So, and one man who wished to remain anonymous said they got paid about $15 an hour.
You know, you think to yourself, what a great job. $15 an hour to sit around at home
and surf Facebook all day.
Right, and just play on Facebook all day. Sit around in my underwear. I don't even have to go to the office. I don't have to move to another city. I just sit at my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Which means now I can write off at least part of my network charges and everything else. What a great job. It's $15 an hour. And then suddenly you're looking at this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Up to 1,000 potentially illegal images a day.
A day. And
that's probably conservative.
Right. And I suspect that some of those are not, in fact, illegal.
The work entails looking at the underbelly of human nature.
And that's
pretty bad.
That's pretty bad stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get it.
Because there's a lot of sick minds out there.
That was the whole goal of the Internet, was it would democratize everything and everyone would have a voice. But it turns out the bad guys have a really loud voice.
Yeah, it turns out that not everybody really deserves a voice. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Some of them should be muzzled.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I get it. I get the problem that they're having. I get the issue that this lady's bringing up. Apparently, although she thought she was prepared, Yeah. It's worse. And then when it hits you every single day like that, I can understand.
For hour after hour.
Hour after hour. At one, you know, you start out thinking, what a great job this is going to be. And about 2 months later, you're thinking, oh, my God, I have to do this again.
My brain
today.
Is fried. And
yeah.
Start yeah. looking for another job.
Yeah, the best, the really the best kind of person who's somebody balanced on the edge of socially conscious and psychopathic. Yeah. I think is where you want them to be, and, now, and those are hard to people to find.
I wonder if they trace back the people uploading these illegal images and send the cops over.
Well,
well, I guess it would depend.
Yeah, it yeah. depends on where they are. Again, World Wide Web.
Right.
There's other countries where, no biggie, that's allowed, you yeah. know, because their standards are totally different, and law enforcement... They got better things to do.
Right. If they know a person is in the United States and it's child pornography, they can send the cops after them.
Yeah.
But also, of course, are they using a real Facebook? Are they using an ad? You know, the people who upload this sort of stuff
yeah.
are generally faking who they are and where they're coming from anyway. So
anonymizing. And
right. Right. So, yeah, I get that.
Well, what was that? A couple of weeks ago, both Facebook and Twitter cleaned up fake accounts.
Yep.
And Facebook was sort of praised for cleaning up fake accounts. Twitter stock fell drastically because so many people were not following you anymore.
Right.
Well, yeah, you had 20,000 fake followers, so we deleted them all. Well, yeah, but now I've got 20,000 less followers.
Right. Right.
So they probably didn't delete enough people. So,
true.
So, right.
Yeah, so every year they got to delete more fake accounts, but if it's a 10% hit to their stock, they got to wait till it rebounds so they can delete another 100 million fake accounts.
Right. All right, to the fan, to the food, to today.
How about the phones?
To the Batcave, Robin. First caller is Bodan from Rochester, New York. Hi, Bodan, save me from myself, please.
Alrighty. Hey, listen, by the way, guys, since I am a member, I've already received my letter to renew my membership, and that is going to be filled out this weekend and put into the mailbox on Monday morning. So I don't know when you officially start your campaign for the fall, but I have my papers in hand, and they will be going in to you folks because you guys are the best on the weekend.
Thank you.
Bless you, my son.
And the fund drive does officially start 7 a.m. Monday morning.
October 8th.
October
8th. Anyway, you guys will have my letter next week. Anyway, here's the deal. I've got a computer problem that's sort of come up. It's not a computer problem. It's an AVG antivirus. I'm running the free edition on a Windows operating system 10. Everything seemed to be fine for the last 2 years. In the last 3 to 4 weeks, I'm noticing that occasionally when I click on the system bar in the lower right-hand corner, it says I'm not protected. I double-click on it. It opens up a box that says you have to restart the program. I click on that. I exit. Everything comes up that says you're protected. What is going on? What is turning off? If you guys heard anything, what is turning off the AVG antivirus by itself? I can't figure it out. Now, I do have a network set up to another computer, and I don't know if something got kicked over from that machine or not, but... it's not doing it on the other one, only on the newer computer operating the system 10.
Yeah, is this a, did you upgrade to 1803?
What's 1803?
The last Windows update.
Yeah. I mean, it does the updates automatically on my machine. So, and I know sometimes when if I go out of town for a couple of days, I'll put the machine to sleep or turn it off, and it says updating, don't turn off your machine. So, yeah, it may have.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, this is actually a fairly well-known problem. You want to delete everything in your temp directory.
Okay.
You want to remove all the, you want to delete AVG, essentially, and that means...
Hang on a second. Okay, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm going to type in the percentage marks run temp. And I did that, and there's a couple of things. Actually, I do see an AVG. Let me see if I can delete it, because there's some things that wouldn't let me delete it. I just deleted that. There's a couple of things, and is it ARIA debug 480? There's a couple. I think those are the ones that I
well,
can't
you
delete.
Before you do any of that stuff, you have to turn off AVG.
Well, I have to turn off AVG.
AVG has a okay, hold on a second. But we can put this on online. But here's the deal: the AVG has a program called AVG Clear, and you have to run that first. Hang on the line. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Bowden from Rochester, Mina, Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Bowden from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Bowden.
Yes, sir. So while you guys were in that break, I actually turned off my program. It says protection is disabled. Protection will be automatically enabled after a PC restart. But you want me to do something before restarting my computer?
Several things. First, you should run the AVG Clear tool.
And where do I find that?
Should be under your menus, in your menus.
Okay, let me put the menu in. Settings, do not disturb, quarantine, file shredder, support, help, about. Would it be under?
Then I don't run it on my Chromebook, okay. So I don't know. But
settings, components.
Well, we posted a URL on how to uninstall and reinstall, and it looks so Clear is a separate exe if you don't have it already.
Separate what, please, again?
It's a separate executable. It may be in the AVG startup group in your start menu, but it may not actually be inside the AVG program.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But there is a download link to download that. So basically, you're doing a complete uninstall, clear everything out, and then download the latest version and reinstall it.
Oh, right. There's a... There are two separate programs. One is called AVG Remover, and one is called AVG Clear.
Mm-hmm.
apparently they just one. It's pretty
These
serious.
Both, yeah.
So what you have to do is, I guess, uninstall AVG, then run AVG Remover, then run AVG Clear.
So run Remover first.
Well, uninstall it, then run Remover, then run Clear.
Well, time out, but shouldn't I download these programs and have them on my desktop, and once I remove AVG, I run it then?
Well, yes, but you can download it at any time because they're standalone programs.
Okay.
But, so yes, you should download them first and then run, uninstall AVG. And then apparently clear out your temp folder, which once you've uninstalled AVG, it's no longer locking files in your temp folder.
Okay.
And then go into app data, which you know you can go in through percent app data percent and check that all the AVG folders are gone. Do the same thing in percent program data percent and make sure all those folders are gone. Delete the whole folder and then reinstall a brand new copy.
Yeah, I did remove some of the temp folder. There are some folders that I just cannot remove. You know, and I try to remove them, hit delete. It says this action can't be completed because the file is open in Microsoft OneDrive. So that's ARIA, the begin ARIA debug 4480. And there's some other stuff that is WCTF3D and stuff like that. And
right. There's nothing you can do about that. Those are, in fact, system programs that Windows is keeping open, and you know, heaven forbid they put it somewhere private, they stick it in your temp folder.
And you could delete it if you weren't running Windows.
So the bottom line is this: uninstall AVG program right now, then go back online, let's say using the browser Chrome, to get AVG Remover and AVG Clear. Run those two programs. After I do that, then reinstall a new version of AVG Free.
You got it. Make sure you're on the site at avg.com, right? Whether it's support.avg, I don't remember exactly where you downloaded from, but support.avg.com or whichever, and that it, so yeah, that you're downloading the real Remover and Clear.
And I've got the link up.
And where can I find that link?
On soundbites.org.
Sorry, say what?
Soundbites.org.
Soundbites.org. All right, I'll go check that out before I start doing anything and disconnecting from the internet.
Yep. Do all of that first.
And now, is this something new? Or apparently, you guys have heard of this before. What's the issue? Was it the last Microsoft update?
It was the last update. Apparently, there was an issue with AVG that is simply fixed by uninstalling and reinstalling.
A lot of programs have had problems with 1803.
Yeah, and it has something, we think, although Microsoft is reticent, it has something to do with the registry.
Why is Microsoft doing all these nice things for us?
Well, because they make more money doing that. And and let's be honest, they have their own antivirus program.
Yeah, the Defender, right?
And they want you to use that, so they don't particularly care to make it easy to use somebody else's program. And if an update breaks that program, they don't care.
Especially something like an antivirus program, which has to hook itself deep into the OS to be able to watch for viruses and malicious software to come in. But that's exactly what viruses and malicious software do, is hook themselves deep into the OS. So it's this sort of catch-22.
So you don't think that picked up a virus from my older computer or anything like that?
It's pretty unlikely, as long as AVG was, in fact, running. So, yeah, it's pretty unlikely. But uninstalling and reinstalling. And if you really want to, once you've uninstalled it, do a quick run with Defender and see what happens. Take a look. It never hurts to try something else. Getting a second opinion is never a bad thing.
Hey, one final quick question is, to restart my machine in safe mode, is it still F8 using OS X, or is there a different system? Somebody said you can't do it in OS X by restarting your machine and hitting the F8 button.
Yeah, it's not the F8 button anymore. You have to hold the Shift key and choose Restart from the Windows command while you're already running Windows. There's no way to
restart,
and it'll ask you to start in safe mode.
Yeah, that will give you your diagnostic options. There's no way to start in safe mode from being off.
Right.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for your assistance. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Have fun.
Because apparently that's too easy a thing to do.
Is
run diagnostics when the computer's turned off. So if you can't boot into Windows, you can't get into safe mode either.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That is exactly right.
Although, theoretically, if Windows recognizes it can't boot, it shows you the diagnostic options anyway.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, but if it can't boot enough to know it can't boot, then you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. Windows is... Microsoft is trying to make Windows as secure as possible. It's just they're doing it in a kind of a way that is obtrusive to everybody else. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rick from Pittsford, New York. Hi, Rick. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got an internet connectivity question.
Yeah.
I've got three TVs. I'm a Time Warner customer under Spectrum, so I got my own modem. The TV that's connected directly works fine, but two other TVs, instead of paying extra for their boxes, we went to live streaming. One's a smart TV and one's a Roku device. Those two TVs are having connectivity problems. I'm getting, when I run speed tests, it's all over the place, from less than 1 meg to the 20 that I'm supposed to get. The two TVs that aren't working, I should mention, are my wife's, and it's very frustrating to her. It's just me and the dog at home, and she really likes the dog. So can you help me out?
All right, a couple of questions.
The modem, the router, I had Spectrum out, and they checked the wires and said it's not their problem.
No, of course, and that's all they care about. Here's the thing. Tell me a little bit about your setup. Are the other two machines wireless?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that.
Are the other two televisions wireless?
One is using a Roku, and the other is a smart TV, so it is wireless. It's both of the router and the modem are Netgear, and they're about 2 years or less old.
Okay, so is the Roku is also wireless? It is also Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so the plugged-in TV works fine. It's the wireless connections that are slow.
Yeah, the wireless connections are slow, and I can run speed tests, and I'm all over the place. I just run it while your show is on. I've been to be less than 1 meg to over 20.
Now, what speed test is your computer also wireless, or is it wired?
It's wireless.
Okay, can you plug in your computer to a wire and run a speed test on it?
I could with difficulty. I couldn't right now.
Okay. The reason I ask is that there are two issues at play here. One is the actual speed you're getting from Spectrum, and the other is the speed of the wireless connection in your home. they could very well be different. In other words, if you are testing speed on a wireless machine, what you're really testing is the speed of your wireless connection. If you're right. testing on a wired connection, then you're testing really the speed of your system, of your network connection. Because there's always going to be a lag. Let's say you're on 20 megabits and you're on an older version of 802 and you're only getting 10. Well, you can play all day long. You're never going to see your 20, ever.
Right.
And it also depends on what else is running in your neighborhood. I just had that experience with a Netgear router myself, which was several years old, and a Roku box, believe it or not, very, very similar. And it was my wife's television, but we have cats and not dogs at this moment. And she was suddenly not connected. And I tried everything, and I finally just replaced my wireless router.
Do you know if your wireless router is an N or an AC?
It's a cable modem. I don't know that.
Yeah.
If it's the all-in-one cable modem wireless router, it's almost likely an N. You may be better off buying your own AC router. AC has longer range, higher power, better strength to get to other rooms, and then you don't have to pay the rental for the wireless now. And it can also depend on what's between the router and the other televisions. So, like, if it has to go through the kitchen or the bathroom to get to the other side, then there's a lot of metal in those rooms that block the radio signal. So an AC router would be much higher strength for that.
Yeah, I've run the portable and using the Spectrum app to watch TV, and I can get it outside. I can get it all over the place. The thing is that sometimes the TV is working fine in the kitchen for her, and other times it just shuts right out. As I said, we get different signal strengths. So what I'm wondering is, do I replace the router, the modem, or both, or do I just cough it up and go to Spectrum's overpriced plan?
Okay, if you're getting decent signal, there's a program called Wi-Fi connectivity. Is that what it's called? Do you have an Android or a...
An Apple
phone.
This is an Android phone.
Okay, there's a program called Wi-Fi Analyzer for the Android phone. And when you run it, it shows you the various signals that are coming into your home and their strength.
Okay.
So you can see how many competing... So you'll see your router. Yeah?
Yeah.
And you'll also see all the competing routers in the area. And you may find that there are several routers on your channel.
And channel 6 is the most common channel. Most routers come with channel 6. So if all your neighbors are on channel 6, then they could be interfering with your signal.
Right. One of the things that I did was move to channel 11. Channels 1, 6, and 11 are the least overlapped by other channels.
Okay.
So those are the one of those three is generally best, but you need to check with a program like Wi-Fi Analyzer to see where your blank space is.
So if I reprogram the router to a different channel, all my other stuff has to be reprogrammed, my computers and everything else, correct?
Well, they just have to be rebooted. They will generally find they do a channel scan to find the SSID you set up.
Yeah,
and then they lock onto that channel.
Okay, I should mention that everything was running fine for months, and then this has been about a 1 month occurrence.
See, that's what leads me to one of two things: either the hardware is dying, or somebody in your neighborhood put up a new router,
and there's
a powerful router, and they're on the same channel you are,
or a ham radio tower, or the microwave oven is now pointed at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Wireless is hard.
I'll try those different things, and thank you very much for your time.
Yep, thanks.
Yep. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I had exactly the same problem. I bought a mesh network, and I set that up and discovered that, in fact, it still wasn't working. And that's because the backhaul, which is the channel on which the the satellite and the router talked to each other was on the same frequency that the network was, and it was drowning out its own network.
Well, shouldn't it have known not to do that?
You would certainly think so, but it did not. And I shut it off to move it and put it somewhere else, and suddenly everything worked. And I thought, okay, I don't even need the satellite.
Yeah.
Everything is fine without it. So my satellite is now just sitting in a corner. But the router is very powerful and very strong. And until it dies, I should be getting good signal. And more importantly, my wife is happy. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina, Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I want to repeat, correct one thing that I said, and that's that our pledge drive actually starts October 8th. It'll start at 7 a.m. And one of the big things that they're bringing back for you folks, if you're going to renew, the first week, they're doing what they call the BOGO. And you, for $100 or more, you can buy one, get one. And what I'm talking about is the dinner card. That if you pledge $100, not do you only get the one discount card, but you get a second one that you can give to a family member or gift it to somebody else that gets you half price on a lot of great things around Rochester. You know, meals and restaurants, all over the place, wineries, the list goes on and on. If you want to check that out, go to our website, jazz901.org, and check out the membership card and all the great deals that you can get and save yourself a ton of money. Plus, your pledge is tax deductible.
Yeah, just look for the link that says member card.
Yep.
And check it out. There's just a huge number of places.
So,
and more all the time. Keep checking that page.
Yeah, that keeps adding. And the other thing too, folks, you know, to get into this, if you are, say, a snowbird, and you're only up here for a few months and then you go down to Florida, because you're a member, one, you can still listen online if you get the app on your phone. You can go down there and say, hey, I'm down here for the winter months. Send me a card for this area. Because you're a member,
they'll send it.
And they'll send you a card that's valid for down in that area or wherever you go.
Yep, it's very cool.
So check it out.
And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Apple's Mac OS Mojave, which was released to users around the world on Monday, includes a faulty implementation of security protections that can potentially expose personal user data, according to one security researcher. Outlined by Patrick Wardle of Digita Security, the apparent flaw allows an unprivileged app to bypass built-in system-level permissions and skim user information from certain apps. Wardle has uncovered a number of Apple-related security issues, the most recent being the exfiltration of sensitive user data by popular Mac app store app Adware Doctor. Apple, during this year's Worldwide Developer Conference in June, introduced an extended set of macOS security features that require users to provide express permission to use select apps and hardware. Specifically, users need to authorize access to Mac's camera, microphone, mail history, messages, Safari, Time Machine, and iTunes backups, locations, routines, and system cookies when running macOS Mojave. In a short video uploaded to Twitter, Wardle demonstrates a bypass to at least one of these protections. The brief demonstration shows a first failed attempt to access and copy contacts through terminal, an expected result under Apple security measures. Wardle then runs an unprivileged app, which he aptly called Break Mojave, to locate and access Mac's address book. With access secured, Wardle was able to run a list command to view all files in the private folder, including metadata and images. The security researcher is keeping details of the bug private to protect the general public, but said he aired the bypass to draw attention to Apple's lack of a bug bounty for the Mac. Apple currently runs an iOS bug bounty program introduced in 2016 that pays out up to $200,000 for bugs related to secure boot firmware components, though the company has yet to roll out a similar incentives initiative for Macs. With the bug now out in the open, Apple will undoubtedly inquire about its details and issue a patch in a coming update. So are you still feeling secure? Smug about how secure your Mac is? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
We generally recommend people don't upgrade to the 0.0 release anyway.
Right.
Because there's always problems. The 0.1 release should be out usually a week or so. In fact, the Watch 0.1 release already came out.
Right. So yeah, that was practically, people couldn't even get their watches strapped to their wrists in the one as well.
So yeah, the Apple released some updates for the phone, the Mac, the Watch, the Apple TV. Wait for those first patches. Let other people find the problems.
That's exactly right. We recommend that with everything.
Yeah, don't be the pioneer. They're the ones with the arrows in their back.
Exactly. Adam Osborne. Anyway, the point here is, we still hear from people all the time, well, I don't have to worry about any security issues or viruses because I have a Mac. Well, you're wrong. I can't put it any simpler than that. You are wrong.
Especially since the most common problems these days are ads, fake ads telling you for fake tech support. That doesn't matter what platform you're running.
Right.
Like we've been saying right along, and I'm not saying don't run it, but I mean, viruses are becoming less prevalent in the world.
New viruses. Yeah. There are still old viruses that have been running around for 20 years. You need to protect yourself from
that. Oh, yeah. That's why I qualified it and said you still have to have one. Because the bigger thing now that you folks have to worry about is spyware and malware.
Right.
That's going after your personal information, folks. And it is critical. More so than a virus. A virus might erase files or that type of stuff. You know, they were always doing malicious stuff, the old ones. But believe it or not, I hate to say it, but they got wiser and figuring out, well, if we start stealing information, whether it's just your email list, they can make money off of it.
Right.
They're not creating stuff that, oh, yeah, so what? I took down a couple thousand computers. Big deal. Whereas if I could go in and create a program that steals information, and now I can sell that information to the, you know, the dark web, boom, now I'm making money. That's good on my side. Bad for you, because now all of a sudden your data, your email, and everything else is all over the World Wide Web.
Right.
And there's another new trend in the bad guys, and that's taking previously known exploits that have been patched and writing exploit programs for all the people that don't patch.
Right.
And it's been called a flash botnet because somebody can write a program, release it, and within an hour they'll have 100,000, you know, compromised computers.
Yeah.
Or routers. It's mostly a lot of routers because people don't think to update their routers. Routers don't update themselves.
Right.
Some of the newer ones are starting to. But your router, your internet-connected DVD player, your Roku box, anything connected to the internet could potentially be taken over.
Once in a while, you got to go down into settings and see if there's a system update. And if there is, you do it.
And if there hasn't been an update in the last, say, 6 months, you might want to get a different box.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there have been lots of exploits in the last 6 months.
That's exactly right. I'm going to bring it right back to the Chromebook. It's one of the beautiful things about a Chromebook. They update in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You can just open it up and use it while you're running it. If there is, it goes out and looks for updates. If there is one, it downloads it. And when you shut the machine down, it installs it. And then when you turn the machine on the next time,
there you go.
You got the new one.
Yep. There's some conflicts because of the diligent
it spreads.
Yeah. You two are contagious.
I'm going to sit around that.
I'm staying over here. You guys, keep it on that side. Because we're in trouble if I got to answer the phones and start stuttering like that.
So there's problems with the law and the DMCA and copyright issues, and it's illegal to modify someone else's device without their permission. So a lot of the old routers can't update themselves because they're your router now. So virtually all the new routers are now coming with an update program that you run. Or when you install the router, it says, do you want us to check for updates? And then so you are now giving permission so they can get around that legal problem. And you want your router, your internet connected thermostats, home security cameras, your doorbells. You want all of that stuff to update.
The Internet of Things is very insecure. Most devices have no security.
Yep.
And they are connected to your network and running little computers.
They're made to be cheap, not secure.
Right.
So one of the things you can do is when you buy one of these internet, especially camera, internet cameras, put them on your guest network.
Yep.
So theoretically, at least, it can't get into your main network and steal information. It could still be compromised and become part of a zombie botnet. But if it's on your guest network, it probably can't get into your home PC.
Right. Okay, we've got a few minutes. We can talk to Jason from Altoona, PA. Hiya, Jason. How are things down in Altoona?
Oh, not too bad. How about you guys?
We're good, thanks.
I've got a question for you, and maybe you have to take it after the break, the answer. But I'm running Windows. Microsoft Word on top of Android, or the Android app, on my Chromebook as my word processor. And I found a few things I don't like about it, so I started to test, Google Docs or whatever it is,
yep,
to see whether or not I could get enough functionality to justify dropping my subscription to the Word.
Sure.
The thing that I found right off the bat, I was creating a new document, and what it is, I'm writing a story, and this is going to be when I come up with an idea, but I'm not to that point in the story yet, but yeah, I want to jot the idea down so I don't forget it.
Yeah.
So I'm creating a notes section, and I tried to create a title where I have big text to the left, and then two text things to the right of that big thing. I tried creating a table, and the table options in Docs that I could find didn't allow me to have one cell that crossed over from column to column. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Did I describe that right? Now, I know how to do that in Word. Can I do it in Docs?
I don't honestly know that. I mean, but the way most people do that is they just add a comment.
A what?
A comment.
Okay.
And that puts a marker next to the thing that you did.
But yes, you can merge cells in tables in Docs.
You actually created a table.
Yes. This is for like the title section. I want what the document is, in this case, notes, and then in two columns, or in one column beside it, I want what the story that I'm writing is. And then underneath both of those columns, I actually created an acronym for what NOTES stands for, and I want that underneath everything.
Okay, that makes sense. You can merge cells.
Okay.
Steve,
yes, you select them both and then right-click on it, and there's a merge command. Merge cells.
Okay, that's an excellent suggestion. How do I right-click on a Google Chromebook?
Tap with two fingers.
Oh, okay. That's all I needed. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Have a good day, guys.
Yep.
Same thing on a Mac. You double tap with two fingers, and that gives you the right-click.
Right.
You can also use the control.
Well, it's not a double tap. It's a tap with two fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, double tap is something
Double tap
else.
Is bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can also, on the Mac, use control, and one finger does the right click as well. Same thing on Chrome, maybe?
Control what?
Control, and then one finger click. Nope.
Alt.
Alt and one. That's right, because pretty much everything on the Mac that uses
control
is
uses
alt
every
Windows.
Place
yeah.
else. Yeah. So alt tap will give you the same thing, is also a right click.
I had a guy the other day, been using his Mac for years, didn't know you could do a right click.
Uh-huh.
We added right click about 15 years ago.
Yeah. Back when you got two-button mice.
Two-button mice. Actually, before Apple released a two-button mouse, but when Windows people were complaining about no right click.
Back to the phones. Our next caller is Shelley from Rochester, New York. Hi, Shelley. What's up?
Hi. My husband, Al, told me to call because I got an update on my Samsung Android phone, and it was a big update, and now there are some things that are wrong, and I'm like, what do I do about it? So one of the things that's wrong is that it erased the chat history from my son and one of my daughters on the texting. It's completely gone.
The text history.
Yeah, the text history. Yeah.
Did they change the? You were using a Samsung phone. Which chat app were you using?
The texting, you know, where you press.
Well, there's two. There's one from Samsung, and there's one from Google. So it is possible that, let's say, you were using the Google one, the update switched you to the Samsung one. But they're both listed in apps. Stay on the line. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Shelly, but we'll be back. In the meantime, look for that while we're while we're taking a quick break. And we'll be back with Dave Enright, me, Nick Frances. Oh, Steve Ray will be here, too. Shelly from Rochester and you. We're done with our first hour, but we're not done with the show. We're going to be back for a whole nother hour of this nonsense. So take a quick bio break and come on back for a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You're listening to Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member supported Jazz 90.1. We, along with Shelly, we'll see you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right, it's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we are talking to Shelly from Rochester, New York. You still there, Shelly?
I sure am. Yeah. And I'm so technologically disabled that you might have to talk to my husband because I can't find whether this is a Google app for texting or a Android text for apps.
Well, it kind of shouldn't matter with what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
The only reason I said that is because I find that particularly with Samsung, because they do put their own software on the system,
mm-hmm.
every once in a while people go into the wrong program.
Okay.
And suddenly nothing is there.
Okay. Okay. The icon has changed color. I noticed that.
There you go.
Also, the emojis don't show up the way they used to.
Yep. It could well be that you're in the wrong program. Now, I believe they're both. I'm getting my phone out right now. So mumble along with me while I see what I can do. Right. They're both called messages.
Okay.
On my phone with the last update I got, and of course I'm a Verizon customer, so I'm at least three behind everybody else in the universe. One is yellow background and one is a blue background.
One has an envelope icon on it and one has a chat bubble icon on it.
Right.
Okay. So the one that I used to have was yellow and the one that I have now is kind of a bluish green.
There you go. So it is possible that you simply switched apps.
But I didn't switch.
No. Not you personally. The update switched the apps.
Oh, the update switched the app.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So okay.
Because you don't know what's good to use. They want to dictate for you.
Right, they want to dictate for you. So what you want to do is go into your apps, right?
Go into apps. Is there a thing here that I find apps on?
Yes, somewhere you will see, on my phone, it's a little black thing with 9 white dots on it.
Oh, yeah. That's on the front part. Yeah, I was in the apps. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. So under that, if your apps are listed alphabetically, then just go to the M's. And
I can see my messages icon.
Okay, just one or two?
It's one. It's in blue.
And that's the blue one. That, I believe, is the one from Google. So what you want to do is search through your apps for the other one.
Keep scrolling through.
You can scroll either, depends on your phone, up or down or left and right.
It's left and right, and I only have one icon.
No, you have two pages.
There might be common apps versus all apps.
I have two pages of icons, but only one icon for messages.
So is there in the hamburger menu where you choose all apps or common apps?
Say what? Huh? What?
Oh, that's true.
Nick, so sometimes it only shows you the common apps, and there's another place to get into all apps.
Right. In the upper right corner should be three vertical dots.
I see them.
Click that and see if you've got something that says show disabled apps.
No, it says sort, clean up pages, home screen settings, finder settings, and Galaxy Essentials.
Galaxy Essentials. Hold on a second. I'm going into Galaxy Essentials to see what it says.
Okay.
This is just so much scruffulous crap. No, you don't ever want to go in there. Don't go in there.
I promise.
don't do it. Okay. So, all right. Then in that case, we're going to have to do some more digging. There are two apps, and Steve's going to...
Is there a search on the phone to search for an app? Like on the
Up on the top above the icons, it says search phone.
Right.
Type search for messages and see if it finds two.
Yeah, type messages.
Or just M-E-S-S.
Right.
And see if it finds two of them.
And see if it finds two apps.
No, it shows one.
Okay, and it's the one with the blue icon.
Yes.
So they shouldn't have actually removed the
other app. Alan wants to know if I'm supposed to go to Play Store.
No, don't install anything or delete anything at this point.
Okay.
What you might want to do is there's a program called PhonePaw, PhonePaw, at phonepaw.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it has two choices, iPhone and Android recovery. And what you do is download that. It's a program for your Windows or Mac machine. And it can recover deleted text messages, audio, video, contacts, all kinds of things.
Okay.
There's also another one that Steve found, which I don't...
Android or Android recovery option. Let me just refresh my page here. So there are several programs that will try to recover deleted messages. The worry is that rather than just not seeing them, they were actually deleted, and then the only way to get them back is to restore from your backup. And sometimes these recovery programs can look into the storage and find things that have been deleted before they get undeleted.
Right.
And so, the other one I found is called Android Recovery Transfer. So it's a program you install on your computer, you connect your phone to your computer, and then it will try to recover the data.
And Steve did put up a link to one of those programs.
Yeah, I'm linking the other one now.
So... both of those links will be up. You'll find those on soundbites.org.
Okay.
Beyond that, you would have to do a restore of your backup if you've got one. The thing to be aware of
I have no idea if I have a backup.
Yeah, probably
not.
All I use
my smartphone for is very dumb things, and I have a bunch of texts.
Yeah.
Histories that... They're not. They don't mean much, but they mean something to me.
Yeah, of course. So this theoretically could find at least some of them. One of these two programs.
Uh huh.
But beyond having a backup of your phone, and of course, the problem with the backup of your phone is if you restore from the backup, then all the new stuff is gone.
Oh.
But if you realize in time, you did the update yesterday and your messages are gone, then you restore today, you probably won't lose very much.
Yeah.
You'll get yesterday's phone back.
Yeah, you, yeah, right, if it's a day late. The other thing is, maybe not. I don't think that's linked directly. Hold on, I'm looking to see if Google Voice is linked directly, and I don't... No, I don't think it is. So, no.
So, which app is which, Nick? Which is Google and which is Samsung?
I believe the Google app... I use the Google app, so why don't I just look instead of believing? Blue. The Blue app is Google.
The Blue app with the chat bubble.
With the chat bubble is Google.
So when my Android updated, they took away my Android messaging and they were texting and they gave me Google texting?
It's certainly a possibility.
That may just be hidden somewhere.
Well, that's what I was thinking. But you'd have to... under
show disabled apps, I saw in your menu.
Right. But she doesn't seem to have that menu under the apps stuff. So again, my phone is far behind everybody else's.
Because I'm hoping that Google is backing up your messages at Google, but if you were using the Samsung app, you'd have to back them up with Samsung.
Right. Now I'm looking under. Settings. This is great radio, I have to tell you. It doesn't seem to have anything about... It does have backup, so you can back up an account and back up all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to not be automatic.
Well, my husband gets very frustrated with me because I am so bad at any kind of technology, and my husband and my kids finally made me get a smartphone last year when my old phone broke, my old flip phone.
Right.
And so now I'm just like, I don't like what it just did to me, and so I, bleh.
No, I get it. I absolutely get it. You kind of fell in the cracks a little bit. Yeah, there's... I don't think voice. See, there's a thing
Google
called
Voice is green on the on
Google
the iPad.
Voice. Yeah. But it doesn't do. It doesn't back up stuff. So if I were to look at my text, I've got texts from my wife today that are not in Google Voice. All right, so no. I don't believe Google backs up your text messages automatically.
Probably not, because the text messages go through the phone system. If you use a messaging app, then it would go through the internet and could get backed up.
Right.
And I don't. I only use this for texting.
Right. So the only thing we can suggest is to try one of those two recovery programs.
Okay.
And if you happen to know somebody who's a little technically savvy who lives maybe in your same house?
Possibly sitting right next to me on the couch.
Possibly so. Tell him to do his own tech support from now. No. We're perfectly happy to help. You might find that one of those two programs will recover your data. Testing them is free,
mm-hmm.
And that will tell you whether or not you should buy them.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, no, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time and effort.
All right.
Okay.
Hold on. Steve thinks
something. I finally found the icon. So the blue icon with the chat bubble is Google Android messaging.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So the yellow one with the envelope is the Samsung messaging.
That's the one I want.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I've been taking all this time trying to find the damn icon, the darn icon.
The darn icon.
Which icon is which program?
Right.
So there's huge debates over which messaging app is better, the Google one or the Android or the Samsung one, and everyone has their own opinions, but I finally found a picture. So, yeah, the blue one with the chat bubble is Android.
Yeah. And I'm kind of shocked that Google isn't archiving those for me. They archive everything.
Except that.
That's just weird.
weird and crazy.
Yeah. So, and that's the interesting thing. Google backs up our photos. We use our phones for everything now. So we use it backs up your photos. It backs up your browser stuff. It backs up everything
your location history, even when you don't want it to.
Even when you don't want it to. Where you've been, why you were there, who you were there with, how many steps you took to get there. And it doesn't back up your text messages? What the heck is that all about?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this does let everyone else know, before you do an update on anything, a phone, a computer, a tablet, back up.
Always back
up. If the update goes wrong, you can restore from backup.
And I understand her pain. I have most people I couldn't care less about what they texted me. But this, some stuff from my wife and particularly from my daughter, I want to keep forever.
And a lot of people text pictures
that
they don't then put in their photo album. They just leave it in the texting program.
Right.
And yeah, because somebody took a quick picture and sent it to you on the phone, and then it gets lost, and you're gone.
Yeah, Apple just added messages in the cloud, a couple of systems, I think the 11.4.1 update. So now all the iMessages you send will be stored in the cloud, so they get backed up by Apple. But text messaging still is your, it's not backed up. You have to back it up yourself.
That's what I was just looking at mine, because I never really paid attention to what text program I'm using. And I'm actually using, on my Google phone, the Verizon Plus messaging system.
Yeah.
And I mean, it works fine. It's nothing that I send in text messages that, you know, I got.
So for that, you would need to log into your Verizon account to do a backup of those.
Now, there is a program called SMS Backup Plus, which is an app. You connect it to your Google account and save all your SMS and MMS messages. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Gary from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hi. I hope this is a simpler question than the last one. I have an Asus X54C that has been working fine, and I have a Windows 10, and I have all the updates. And I got a I'm not connected to my network, and I went in to settings, checked on network status, and got this message: plug an Ethernet cable into this computer, and it tells what it is and to put it into the back of the computer and it into the router. And it really puzzles me, because the only thing I've got on the network is a printer. It's an HP in the 4500 series. And I have that on, and the light that shows that it's connected wirelessly is on, and part of the problem would be putting an Ethernet cable back into this, even though it's a laptop, we do have it pretty stationary on a desk, and we've had to move the router to a different part of our home. We were having a hard time connecting with the Internet, and we had Frontier come in, and they said part of it is that it's a building with a lot of metal in the walls. It's a fireproof building with concrete walls. And we had to move the router out to a different part of the house. So we really, unless we move the computer, we can't keep it connected with an Ethernet cable. It just puzzles me so that this would come on, because it's worked up. This screen would come on today and saying we're not connected to our network when it worked yesterday. And it's just hard to know what could have happened.
If you move the laptop closer to the router, can you reconnect to the wireless network?
Just as a test.
We could try that.
Yes. That's one thing to try. The other thing to try is, I'm not terribly familiar with the X54C, but it and I'm trying to look up the specifications, but this may be one of those models where somewhere on it is a switch that turns off wireless.
Yep.
Which saves your battery.
A physical switch.
Okay.
And in opening it or closing it or whatever, you may have accidentally flipped that switch.
Like an FN key and then along the top.
Check for a physical key, a physical switch on the side or in the front.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
And if that doesn't do it, then one of the function keys may have a little wireless symbol on it, and that turns it on and off.
You got to hold usually an FN key down and that FN key, the actual function key up at the top that has the wireless symbol on it to turn it on and off. And there's quite often a light. Usually most wireless modems will turn, you know.
Like it's not a modem, it's a laptop.
Yeah, but I'm saying a laptop has like a modem, internet light.
Right.
I'm used to the old modem, but an indication light that says that it's on or off.
Okay. There is on the taskbar a symbol for the wireless connection, and that does show that it's on. Have to click on it.
Does it show it's connected?
It shows that the wireless connection is on, which seems very strange to me.
Well, all right, and if you click on that, it shows the wireless connection is there. Does it also show your wireless
network name?
Yeah, that's something I can't.
And then it should say connected next to that network name with a checkbox.
Okay, let me get that.
So,
I just clicked on it, and on the icon for the wireless internet, I've got it up, and it shows that it is off. It's got the red circle with a line.
There you go.
Yep.
So I should look for a switch, and I'm pretty sure I know this did happen before, and they're on the over the numbers on the keyboard. There is, it's F2. There is a key that that connected with another key on the
right. So if you hold down the FN key,
There it is.
Yeah.
And then press 2, see if that turns it on.
The FN key.
And then the F2, you know, the key that has the little symbol is the F2 key?
Right, I've got that one. And,
right.
And the other one that you suggested?
The FN key. Usually that's down in the lower right, left-hand corner.
Let me try that.
Hold. So that the FN key works like a shift key. So you hold it down while you're tapping that F2 key.
And that may turn your Wi-Fi back on.
Right.
All right, so it looks like it's between the control key and the Windows key.
Right, I found the key, and I think I've got it.
And that should turn your Wi-Fi back on, so then you can go to the icon in the taskbar and reconnect to it.
Right. It might reconnect automatically, but it could take a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I did that, and I did click the... held down the FN key, tapped on the wireless on F2, and now I have, from the taskbar again, the icon for the wireless connection, and it still shows that it's not connected, but you think it might take a minute or so?
Well, it should have turned it back on again.
Unless he double-hit it.
Unless he double hit it and then turned it on and off again. Yes.
Okay, that might be it. I think you've got it, and I don't want to stay on longer.
Well, that's okay, but yes, and that's fine. But what you should do is once you get it back on again, give it a minute and see if it auto connects. And if it does not, then you'll have to go back in and reconnect manually. But it should auto connect.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. And you've given me three options. So I think this will do it. I think I did it once before many years ago and had to look up the manual online and found right. that you do, that it's as simple as you said, that yep. that's rather than a switch on the side, it is the FN key. Plus
there you go.
Yeah. Two. I'm pretty sure that's it. And if that's not it, it's another key down in the same place or very near on the keyboard other than the FN key. It
right.
might be another one.
But it should be the FN key, and you should mm-hmm. be, make sure you just hit it once and then wait a minute and see what happens.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Good luck.
All right.
Thanks.
And most laptops have an option to turn the wireless off so it uses less battery
yep.
power when you don't need it to make it last longer. And then, as Nick was saying, some of the laptops have a physical switch on the side that
yeah.
you can accidentally
those were
turn
always
off.
A pain.
You slide it
yeah,
in and
you
out of your
accidentally
bag.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Yep. I can't tell you the number of my faculty who would come. Now, rarely the same one twice, I hasten to say. But the number of my faculty who came to us and said, my wireless stopped working. We flicked the switch and it's on. And mm-hmm. it, they hit it accidentally.
Yep.
But yep. there's no way to disable that switch. And now, yes, it's a function key, so it's harder to do accidentally. Not impossible.
No,
just harder.
Your hand slips that you're trying to hit something, and you
that's
hit
right.
another key accidentally.
That's right. And so I get it. It happens to a lot of people, and
yeah.
it's an issue that really you have little or no control over. As long as you know how to fix it, you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of issues you no longer have control over, king of the segues, ladies and gentlemen.
Segway man.
Facebook said on Friday that an attack on its computer network has exposed the personal information of nearly 50 million users. The company said it discovered the breach this week. The attackers exploited a feature in Facebook's code that allowed them to take over user accounts. Early on Friday, Facebook forced more than 90 million users to log out of their accounts, a common safety measure taken when accounts had been compromised. Facebook said it had fixed the vulnerability and notified law enforcement officials. We're taking it really seriously, Mark Zuckerberg. The company's chief executive said in a conference call with reporters. I'm glad we found this, but it definitely is an issue that this happened in the first place. I didn't take them all the way to Mickey Mouse. Getting there. Facebook said it. There was an interview on YouTube with the two guys who voiced Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck for years, and they just carried on a whole conversation as Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. It tickled me pink. This is the voices of my childhood. Facebook said it did not know the origin or identity of the attackers, nor had it fully assessed the scope of the attack. Its investigation is still in the beginning stages, it said. The attackers exploited two bugs in the site's View As feature, which allows users to view their own profiles as if they were someone else, Facebook said. The feature was built to give users more control over their privacy. This was compounded by a flaw in Facebook's video uploading program, a software feature that was introduced in July 2017. The flaw allowed the attackers to steal so-called access tokens, digital keys, that allow access to an account. It's not clear when the attack happened, but it appears to have occurred after the video uploading program was introduced. So sometime after July 2017, so most of a year and a half. The attack was discovered as Facebook continued to contend with the aftermath of its role in a widespread Russian disinformation campaign during the 2016 presidential election and from the fallout of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, in which a British consulting firm improperly harvested the personal data of up to 87 million Facebook users. The company also faces the prospect of federal regulation and questions about whether it has grown too powerful. One of Facebook's primary challenges has been convincing users that it can responsibly handle the incredible wealth of data it has access to. More than 2 billion with a B people use Facebook every single month. 2 billion also use WhatsApp, a Facebook-owned messaging app, and Instagram, the Facebook-owned photo-sharing app. We have a responsibility to protect your data. Ha-ha! And if we can't, then we don't deserve to serve you, Mr. Zuckerberg said in a statement regarding Cambridge Analytica earlier this year. And he's right. So, does Facebook deserve to serve you? Give us a call. And what do you use instead? 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 and toll free at 1-800-790-0415. It's an interesting question. People use Facebook for so much these days. Although, young people apparently are abandoning it in droves.
Yeah.
Facebook is now an old person's place. This makes Zuckerberg very unhappy because he just did an IPO a little while ago.
Yeah.
And people assumed that so much of what was going on was going to be because of the money that they were going to make is because so many young people were on the system. And they're not anymore. They moved over to WhatsApp, which is, of course, also owned by Facebook, and Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook. But they're abandoning
Facebook. So instead of his money being all in his right pocket, it's over in his left pocket.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, nobody's crying for Zuckerberg at
this
point.
Yeah, really.
That's very true.
So you may want to change your Facebook password. You may want to put alerts on your bank accounts if you don't already.
Right. And you should. You should be checking your bank account regularly to begin with.
My wife always kind of scoffs at me that I check my bank account every couple of days. And I caught a fraudulent transaction before, you know, like a week before I got the letter from my bank.
Yep. I actually got a call. I told you, I got a call from my bank and they canceled my credit card because somebody had spent thousands of dollars.
Well, a lot of them now are doing, instead of you having to go through that hassle, they can do what they call a freeze, and they just lock the card.
Yeah, that's new. Back when I was doing it, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I get alerts, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, I get this alert, and I just, of course, I go ballistic.
Yeah.
What do you mean somebody got that much?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That was for my wife's car repair. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm okay.
We had that happen at work to the boss's credit card, and so we were watching their shopping spree in New York. They were on Fifth Avenue. You know, they bought jewelry and furs, but when they had the audacity to buy a Dell, that's when we were
cut them
really
off at the knees.
We're Mac people. And it was a heck of a Dell. It was like five digits.
Sure. Wow. You can buy that. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour, so you still have plenty of time to call us at 585-966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we once again have Gary from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Gary?
Well, I'm sorry to be a pest. I did try try what we talked about, and then the problem isn't fixed, and I went into further diagnostic to troubleshooting, and this is the answers I've gotten. The 802.1 and wireless LAN card adapter is experiencing driver or hardware-related problems. So it sounds like it could be a hardware problem. The other thing they found is the local area connection to doesn't have a valid IP configuration.
Yeah, both of those basically mean the same thing. You're not connected to Wi-Fi. Whether it's because the switch was turned off on the laptop, the Wi-Fi card on the laptop has failed, or there's too much interference between the laptop and the base station, that's going to be where the answer lies.
Now that you've turned Wi-Fi back on,
yes.
Have you rebooted the system?
No, I didn't.
Okay, you could try that.
All right.
You could also try rebooting the router in case there was a glitch there.
Just plug it.
Well, yes, unless there's a switch on it. You can just turn it off, wait 10 seconds, and turn it on again. Unplug it, then you, again, wait 10 seconds before you plug it back in again. You said that the printer is still connected wirelessly.
Yes.
But is it actually connected, or is it just noticing a Wi-Fi signal? If all you're seeing is the little light on the console,
yeah,
then that proves nothing.
Oh, okay.
You could... many of them have a self-test print, and that self-test should also include your Wi-Fi address.
Yeah, sometimes there's a diagnostic test versus a print test.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
But again, you know, just rebooting, turn off all the wireless devices, your printer, your computer.
All right.
Then reboot the router. Give it, 10 seconds before you plug it back in or turn it back on, whichever it is.
All right.
Then wait about a minute after you turn that on before you turn on your computer and your printer.
Okay.
And that the idea there is, in case it was just the computer glitching, rebooting should fix that.
Okay.
If it was the router glitching, rebooting should fix that. But it does mean that you have to restart the computer and the printer. And the reason you wait is that it can take up to a minute, sometimes two, for the router to be acknowledged by the network at the other end, whoever your provider is, and be given an IP address and set up and get ready to go.
That's so, very, very helpful.
There you go. And that's why there's a wait. You can't just flip everything on. You have to wait after you turn the router itself on.
Yeah.
And
that's one key thing that people like me often forget. We think we're running an appliance, and we're not.
Yeah,
it's the truth.
And then if none of that works, take your laptop to a coffee shop, bookstore, or whatnot, where they have Wi-Fi.
Right.
And see if it can connect to that Wi-Fi. So, and that will let you know whether it's your computer or your router.
That's a great idea, too.
There you go.
Okay. You've given me a lot to work on. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Gary.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is a problem that we have now. It used to be simple. If your computer didn't connect to the internet, you probably had an unplugged Ethernet cable.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
or your kid was on the phone.
Your kid was on the phone, doggone it.
I rewired my whole house so I could unplug the rest of the house phones.
How many kids are screaming, Mom, when Mom picked up the phone? But the other issue now, of course, with wireless is what's in the air.
Yeah.
You know, your neighbor has Wi-Fi. Everybody's got microwaves. There's a million things.
Well, course, like he said too, there are metal walls and concrete walls.
You have to think of your house as made of glass. So if you were to look from where your computer is to where your router is, what's in the way?
Yep.
Is there an air return duct? Are there water pipes? Is there a refrigerator or a stove?
Or like our house is the mesh wiring because of the old homes.
Right. We've got the chicken wire in
chicken
the walls.
Chicken wires in the wall.
And that's why a program like Wi-Fi Analyzer, which shows you your various Wi-Fi signals. And again, when my wife was having a problem in our kitchen, one of the issues was all around the house, I get an awfully good signal. This is with the old router. With the new router, I blast through everything. But with the old router, I got an awfully good signal in all of my house, except in the kitchen, I was getting Well, six great signals all on the same channel, and every channel had at least two or three. I don't know where they were. Well, there's an apartment building I can see, and clearly, you know, all of that stuff. So putting in the new router for me with a much more powerful signal and on a channel that is less utilized by other people solved my issue. But I needed the app to tell me that because you can't see wireless signals, which is, of course, a blessing because if you could, you wouldn't be able to see anything else. The air is just saturated with them.
Yeah. Someone asked Neil Tyson, you know, what superpower would he like? And not just X-ray vision like Superman. He wants to see the entire magnetic spectrum like Geordi LaForge.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see all the radio waves going between you. And
also, you want to be able to turn them off.
Turn them off, yes.
Right, the vision of them. Because, like I said, if you were able to see the radio waves, you wouldn't see anything else. They're just everywhere.
The one thing I have to correct you on.
Uh-oh.
Is your wife didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
You had the problem.
Man, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I don't sweat often when it comes to tech stuff. Waiting for that new router, I was sweating.
It's, honey, honey, this isn't working.
Don't worry, we have Prime. It'll be here tomorrow, I promise. But yeah, and I love the new router. It's fast. It's super powerful. And it's just very, very nice. It's an Orbi. And like I said, the backhaul was causing an issue simply because of where I placed the mesh station, the second station. But I turned it off so I could move it, and suddenly everything worked. And I realized that the signal is so powerful that at least considering that, you know, the actual router itself is in the middle of the second floor. So it gets everywhere.
Oh, there you go.
In the house. And so that works. And then I thought, well, I have to figure out how to deal with this because Elaine's going to want to be able to get stuff in the yard and in the backyard. And then I came home from class the other day and she said, I'm delighted. I said, excellent. I don't know what I did, but I'm delighted I did it.
Thank you, honey.
She said I was out in the backyard and I had Pandora playing on my iPod because the signal is strong enough. Well, I did that on purpose, honey.
Yep. Just for you, dear.
Just for you. Exactly.
Just for you.
Exactly.
It's all about you, hon.
It's pretty cool. I really do like my new router. I discovered my internet connection is even faster than I thought it was because I just wasn't getting a good connection from the old router. It wasn't as fast as my connection. That's another nice thing. And of course, this new router, the old router, I have to say, when I say old, it only did WEP.
That's old.
That's not old. That's ancient.
That's ancient. And so, and I knew that wasn't right.
It can be broken with a pocket calculator.
Exactly right. It can be broken with a pebble. So I'm very delighted that I now have a real network, and it also has a guest network, and I can do all kinds of things I couldn't do before. Of course, now I'm geeking out. Every day I'm in there going, oh, I can do this.
Yep.
Oh, I can do that. I don't have to do that anymore because I don't do it for a living, but if I ever wanted to, there it is.
We had a question in the YouTube chat.
Uh-oh.
Going back to the backup issue.
Yes.
Yes, you should have a backup.
Yes,
the question is from Richard. It basically is, can you just drag copy your stuff to a flash drive, or should you use a backup program?
I have not tested that, but I would suspect that as long as you have the folder, the correct folder, you should be able to back that up anywhere.
Right.
There's a program called AirDroid, which lets you see all that stuff, and you should just be able, even if you don't have it connected wireless with a wire, you should be able to drag it.
Yeah.
To your
and there are backup programs for Windows. Apple's got the Time Machine built in. If you feel
does Time Machine back up your phone?
Your phone backs up automatically to iCloud, or you can back up manually to your computer.
Nice.
The problem is so if you're comfortable doing a manual backup to a hard drive or flash drive, sure. Using a backup program allows you to automate it and make it easier so you don't forget. we've had a lot of people come into our store saying, do you have a backup? Yeah, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, all right, you lost 6 months worth of data.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, that that music tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Great questions this week, as usual. Made us work a little, and we like that. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. You just got a call earlier and more often. We'll be back next week. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week long. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 55 minutes after the hour, and you've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we are indeed member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we will see you in just 166 hours.